This morning I want to just talk a little bit about my sermon titled is Mind Your Language. Mind Your Language. And again, even though we're talking to married couples, this is not just for married couples. This is also just for having relations with people, just basically friendships and how it is that you compose yourself at school or even at work or even in the church. This has got to do with relationships, but also more specifically about being married. Okay, so those of you who are not married, this pertains to you as well. You can extract stuff from here, and I know that you will be blessed this morning. Amen. For those of you that don't know, Mind Your Language was actually a British sitcom that kind of like came onto the RTV, which is the British TV, around about 1977. And basically, it was a teacher who had to try and teach English to a whole group of foreigners, and they were all misfits, and it was really a comedy. This is not about that language. We're not going to try and teach you the English language or any other language. We're talking about something completely different. It's another kind of language, and I want you to understand that if you are going to have if you're ever going to have healthy relationships, healthy marriages, healthy families, then we're going to have to mind our language. And minding your language is really being, just knowing that there is the language of love that we ought to speak. Amen. So I want you to look at somebody right now and tell them, mind your language. And when we say that, I'm telling you, be aware that there is such a thing as the language of love. And if we're going to have healthy relationships in the church, if we're going to have healthy relationships in the family, if we're going to have healthy relationships at school, if we're going to have healthy marriages, we have to what? Mind your language. I was raised up by my grandparents who, as you know, may not know, were Italian. And so they could hardly speak English. But they spoke Italian, and I learned how to speak Italian, not the proper Italian. So I'm like a bush Italian, you know. I speak bush Italian. My verbs are mixed up, and my accent is really quite Anglo-Saxonized, or Anglo, what was it, Anglo? Anglo-Saxon, yeah. So my English really, when I speak Italian, I come across with an English accent. If I am in Italy for about 2-3 weeks, then I get to roll my R's and I start to sound a little bit like an Italian. But that was the Italian language that I was taught at my home. But you know, also over and above the Italian language, as I was raised up by my grandparents, there was another language that I was immersed in. It was a language of how to do life, and a language that I grew up into. My grandparents and parents were not born again, so we were not influenced by the Bible. We were not influenced by church and the church that we know like this and being and praying and all of that. But it was nonetheless a language that I grew up in, a way of doing things, a way of perceiving things, which I then, when I got married, brought into my marriage. But how many of you know that even when I went to school, I brought that language to school? And then when I finished school and went to university, I brought that language, a way of doing life, I brought that into the university. And then when I started to work, I brought that language into my workplace. How many of you are understanding what I'm saying? But I want you to understand that there is such a thing as a love language. Even though my parents and grandparents were not Christians and we didn't know the Bible, it was a love language nonetheless. And what I want to talk about is sometimes we are raised up in certain cultures and certain home environments, in a certain atmosphere, and then when we interact with people, we have to be mindful that we are bringing that language into that relationship. We are bringing that language into that interaction. And when we get married as well, we bring that love language into our marriages. And sometimes the love language that you speak is not the love language that your spouse speaks. Anybody understanding what I'm saying? A lot of the times, frustrations and heartache and sorrow happen in relationships as well as in marriages, because actually we're talking different love languages. And so the key there is to understand and identify what is the language that your friend speaks at school or at work, your colleagues, or even your spouse. That's an important thing to ask yourself, especially like I was raised up in Italian culture. And my wife is South African, and even though we were both white people, there was a diversity of cultures that I had to really get to terms with. And so I had to kind of quickly understand that there was a love language that my wife spoke and a love language that I knew. And more often than not, these were poles apart. Amen. It's also important to know that the world speaks another type of language, a love language. And it is a language that is influenced by Hollywood or Bollywood or Nollywood. And that language is man-made. It is a language that doesn't have God at its center. And it's a love that is self-centered and carnal. So to all the Beatles fans who say all you need is love, it's true, but I want to ask the Beatles, what kind of love are you talking about? Are you talking about the Hollywood love? Are you talking about a superficial love? Are you talking about a me, myself, I kind of a love? Mr. Beatles, what kind of love are you talking about? A bit louder. Okay, how many Tina Turner fans do we have? Don't put your hands up. But to all the Tina Turner fans who say, what's love got to do with it? Actually, Tina Turner, more than you can ever imagine. Let's look at the next one. Know what love is. That's what we're actually trying to do today. So if you stick around, hopefully we're going to help you today. Amen. So for all the Stevie Wonder people, part-time lover, that is certainly not going to cut it for you. If you're a part-time lover, you're going to be in big, big, big trouble. It takes both hands, full-time loving, a full-time lover to make a marriage work. Amen. The point I'm trying to make today is that if we're going to be effective communicators of love, whether it be on a social level, at school, or at work, or wherever it is in a marriage, we're going to have to mind our language, and we're going to have to understand that there are love languages that people actually speak. Now there are five, but I'm going to talk about the four today. And again, as we go through these, this doesn't just apply to marriages, all right? If you are married, please pay attention. If you're not married, this can help you at school. It can help you in your workplace. It can help you in the church as well. If you are the boss of your company, the CEO, if you are a manager and you have people underneath you, this is going to help you, all right? Because we want to be able to talk the language of love. Amen? So the first thing is to understand the language of love and to mind your language. I think it's important that we speak words of affirmation. How many of you believe in words of affirmation? I like what Mark Twain said. He said, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. He said, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. And one way to express love is to use words that will build up, that will encourage, that will edify. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 12 and 25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word, a word of affirmation makes it glad. Hallelujah. Verbal compliments and words of appreciation, I want you to know, family, are powerful ways of communicating the language of love. You see, the object of love is not getting something you want, but rather doing something for the good of the person that you love. Can I say that again? The object of love is not to get something from that individual, but rather to do something for the good or the well-being of the person that you love. Hallelujah. So what are some examples of words of affirmation? If I'm going to use words of affirmation, well, how about encouraging words? Encouraging words. What does it mean to be an encourager? To be an encourager really means to inspire courage. Look at somebody and tell them, when I encourage you, I inspire courage in you. Hallelujah. Like I've said before, it takes no faith to see the wrong in somebody and to criticize and to speak negative words. You're not using faith. Faith doesn't express itself like that. But it takes faith to see the good. It takes faith to speak words of affirmation. It takes words to encourage. Do you know that when you encourage people, you actually unlock their potential? Sometimes they don't even know there's that potential in them. But when you affirm and you speak words of encouragement, you unlock the hindrance and you release the potential in that individual just by affirming them and by speaking words of encouragement. So there's encouraging words. There's kind words as well. You know, the Bible says that love is kind. Do you know that kindness is an expression of the love language? Now, I know that we're all humans and we all, you know, whatever. But this is a great way just to remind ourselves that if love is kind, then we ought to actually express kindness as well. Hallelujah. And using kind words has to do with the way that we speak to each other. So even bosses, just because you're the boss, just because you're the manager and you're an authority, doesn't mean that you need to speak unkindly to those below you. It's the way that we communicate that. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I've learned that if my spouse is angry and upset and she's really just lashing out with harsh words, that I can do one of two things. I can choose to react to that and also come out lashing and being angry, or I can choose to respond. I remember in the early days of our marriage, we used to like really have some serious like debates, if I can call it that. And we would, you know, just tongue lash and just, you know, and instead of dealing with the problem, you now start, you know, calling each other names and whatever. It wasn't that bad, but you start attacking each other. And the Lord said, you are two together. The two have become one. And when you attack your spouse, you're actually attacking yourself. It would be like firing a bullet against a wall and that bullet ricocheting off the wall and coming straight back at you. That's what you're actually doing. Amen. So the best way is basically to respond. And how do you respond? With a kind word, with a soft word. You say, well, that's difficult. That's hard for me to do. Well, this is where forgiveness comes in. And in the coming months, I'm going to talk a little bit about the power of forgiveness. But forgiveness is actually the way of love. Can you say that with me? Forgiveness is the way of love. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Let me say that. Forgiveness is a commitment. What is commitment? What is forgiveness? A commitment. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's a choice that you make. A choice to show mercy and not to hold the offense against the wrongdoer. So forgiveness is actually a choice, not a feeling. It's a commitment. Hallelujah. I'm committing. How about choosing, speaking with respectful words, words that respect that person? That's another way of affirming. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that actually when you speak respectfully to each other, you are actually not making any demands on each other. Love actually makes requests. It doesn't make demands. When I place demand on my spouse or my friend, I become the parent and that friend or that spouse becomes the child. As a parent, I tell my five-year-old what to do, when to do it, and all of that. But, you know, if you are two adults, then the way to treat that relationship is to speak respectfully to each other, and you don't place demands. You cannot demand to be loved. I don't care if you got a gruffy voice and you think you're the head and you got a suit on and you got whatever, whatever. You cannot demand love from your spouse. So we speak respectfully to each other. Amen. What about words of appreciation? I think the deepest human need is to actually feel appreciated. And it is great, a great thing to appreciate one another. So the first one was words of affirmation, that we could speak the language of love, all right, by affirming. And then number two, there is quality time. What's number two? Quality time. Quality time is important. What does it mean? It means that I give somebody my undivided attention. So managers, when you're talking to somebody beneath them, just because you're sitting in that big chair with a big desk in front of you, doesn't mean that you don't give that person undivided attention. I think it's a great thing when a manager or a CEO walks past a janitor and gives him his undivided attention and just greets him and says, "How's it going with you and your family?" That's quality time. Can you say amen? Husbands and wives, quality time is not about the wife talking while you're flipping through the newspaper or watching the channels, watching the cricket or the soccer. It's about actually giving your spouse undivided attention. When I come here on a Sunday, my job is to give as many people as I can my undivided attention. This is not about me. This is not about, you know, what do I feel? How can I get blessed? How can I be healed? I might need healing and I might need to be blessed, but it's not about me, amen? It is about giving my undivided attention to people, giving them quality time. And when I do that, I'm giving them my life. Do you know when you give 20 minutes of undivided attention to your spouse, you are giving 20 minutes of your life, 20 minutes that you'll never have again in your life. You are giving 20 minutes of your life to that individual every time you spend quality time. Amen. So quality time is a language of love. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? The third language of love is what I spoke a little bit about today, the receiving of gifts. And the fact that we can buy gifts and we can give each other gifts is actually the expression of love, as I've said. Because when I get that gift, I'm actually telling you that I had you on my mind. And I was thinking about you. And I actually did remember you. And so here is the gift. The gift might not be a whole lot, but just because I bought the gift, that makes it a big deal. Hallelujah. And like I said, gifts are a visual symbol of my love. Can you say amen? The fourth language of love that I want to just talk about is really acts of service, where we come and we serve one another. It means that you do things that your friend knows you would love for him or her to do, or even your spouse would love for her to do or him to do. So it means like cooking a meal. The best that I can get to cooking a meal is brine some meat. Other than that, it's dicey. We might not get a meal. It might be burnt, underdone, or whatever it is. But I don't mind setting the table. I do that often. I don't mind washing the dishes. No, I do, because I don't need to. I've got a dishwasher. But what really freaks Joy out is when I put the dishes in the sink and I don't put them in the dishwasher. So I've learned that's what she requires, and so that's what I do. Amen. Or what about making the bed? I often do the bed sometimes. I did the bed yesterday because she wasn't there. But I had no choice. But even when she is there, I'll get to do the bed. That's not a problem. I'll put away my shoes. I'll pick up my dirty washing. I'll put it in the laundry bag and take the laundry bag, you know, to the laundry place wherever the washing machine is. So in other words, I get to do everything that I know she wants me to do. I love buying groceries. Do you know that some guys that I know out there, they look at me and they think I'm mad. I've got this one friend of mine, and he thinks I'm absolutely crazy. Are you effeminate, or is there something wrong with you? Is this the woman side of you? But I'll go and buy groceries. Maybe it's because of my liking for food or whatever it is. But I know that it takes the pressure off Joy, and so I'll go and buy groceries. I'll go and buy her shoes as well. I'll buy her shoes because I know the kind of shoes that she likes. And I've often bought my mom's shoes, and sometimes I have to try the shoes on myself because she's got the same size as I've got. I was in America the one time when I was trying these shoes on. I could see these women. And so, you know, they thinking, whatever, whatever, whatever. You don't know my story. But anyways, so these are acts of service that really get to express the language of love. But you know, we can do acts of service for one another as well. We can do acts of service in your workplace. You know, and sometimes when you do acts of service, people really get like messed up because they're thinking, okay, like what's the catch here? He's doing something. I'm sure something's coming up in a minute. And when you just do the act of service and you just like walk away and there's no strings attached, man, it actually boggles them up. I mean, I remember when I was working in London, everybody there in London is, well, let me not say it, but anyways, in the UK, I mean, they watch all the pennies, and I would often say, hey, can I buy you a cup of coffee? And they go, no, 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 because in the back of their mind, it means they would have to get you a cup of coffee sometime. And I would say, it's okay, you don't need to buy me a cup of coffee. I'm just buying you a cup of coffee because I want to buy you a cup of coffee. There are no strings attached. And they look at me, no, 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 no. Oh, okay. So doing acts of service is a great way to reveal the language of love. And we want in our service, in our Sunday services to be basically acts of service. Like I said, I come here to serve on a Sunday. I didn't come to be served, even though I do have people helping me, and thank God for them. But my heart is to basically serve. Our heart is to make every Sunday service an epic Sunday. There in Hillcrest, an epic Sunday. There in Phoenix, an epic Sunday. In the overflow areas, an epic Sunday, which means that we can serve each other so that we can help people encounter Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, love is actually an act of service. Love cannot be demanded. Like I said before, there were some marriages where the spouses demand love. But actually, we cannot demand love. But we can request. And we keep the flow of love when we request. When we place demand and we become like regimental and that way we stop the flow of love. How many of you know that love is also choice and love cannot be coerced? Can you say amen? So these are the expressions of love, the way that we love. And this is the month of love, the month of red. And of the four languages, I want you to think about what I said. Whether it be quality time that you need to maybe just dial into. Maybe it's your words of affirmation. You know, I'll never forget when I was a young boy, my mom's sister, who's now passed on, and again, because we weren't born again and we come from rough, you know, beginnings, and she had a rough life and a rough marriage, but every time I would go to play with my cousin, that was her son, she would like speak these words over him. You schizo. You're just like your father. You're schizo. You're mental, man. You're mental. And obviously she had had a rough marriage and he was womanizing and finally they split apart. I mean, I'll never forget the one time we were at she was staying in Carlton Towers, which is right opposite the ocean rink. I think it was like the 20th floor, and I was staying with my cousin for that weekend, and as I got in, there she was, like on the edge of the balcony, like ready to just throw herself off the 20th floor, and we just grabbed her just in time. Obviously, there was a lot of alcohol and a lot of whatever. But she kept on speaking those words over my cousin. And you know, he grew up, and when he got to 14, 15, he was like a delinquent on drugs. He was in, back in those days, they called it the Snake Park crew, the Snake Park gang. I don't know if anybody who lived long enough to remember those days. And he ended up in Pietermaritzburg. What's that place called? Yeah, where mental, he was like mental. And with time, he came out of that and gave his heart to the Lord and had a, you know, is now living in the UK. But that is the power of the words that we speak. So maybe you might have to look at that. The way that you speak over your children, the way that you speak to people at your workplace, the way that you speak to your spouse. We want to be able to flow in the language of love. Amen. Because if God is love and we have God on the inside of us, then that love language ought to come out. And I know sometimes we lose the handle and we fly off the edge and things happen and we have a blowout and we lose our marbles and we throw the toys out of the cot. But I think it's always good for us to come back to a place and understand that let's speak the language of love. Let's mind our language. Minding your language is about taking responsibility and being accountable for what you say. Let's be accountable for what we say, because Proverbs 18:21 says either death or life is what we're speaking. And if we are sowing death, what are you going to reap? It's going to come back at you. If you are sowing love, what can you expect to reap? If you are sowing encouragement, what can you expect to reap? And how many of you know that we're living in times when you look around that we could do with a whole lot of encouragement? I love to be around people that encourage me, that affirm me, that speak over my life. They speak into my life. Hallelujah. I love being around those kind of people. There are haters, and haters will always be haters. But we don't have to go with that mold. They're of the world. We, you know, the thing is, we have God on the inside of us, and God is love. And I think every human being wants to be loved. And they want to be affirmed. And they want you, when you're talking to them, to just look at them and say, I'm giving you my, you know how that makes somebody feel? I know when I go down to a child and I look at that child and I just gaze, I mean, the child is like, he can't believe that this adult is actually taking time to engage with the child. That's like heavy impact. That's impacting that little child. When you spend time with your kids and say, no, I'm not going to take the phone call. I've canceled my schedule. This is me and you. We're going to kick a ball together. We're going to go to the movies. We're going to get some popcorn. We're going to do something crazy. Let's go fishing. Let's go, I don't know, let's go paintballing. I don't know, let's go riding horses or whatever. But I'm going to give you my undivided attention. Something amazing happens, because we all want to be loved. Can you say amen? With every head bowed, every eye closed right now, all over the campuses, in the overflow section, on the top, wherever you might be this morning, I want you to understand that God loves you. Maybe words of affirmation were not spoken over you. Maybe unkind words were spoken over you as a child. Maybe just right before you came to the service, somebody said something unkind to you. I want to tell you that there is a heavenly Father who is speaking words of kindness over your life. He affirms you. He loves you. And He is ready to give you quality time. And He is ready to serve you. He served you by sending Jesus to die on a cross for you. You say, Pastor, things have happened in my life and I'm at sixes and sevens. I don't have peace with God. I'm away from God. And today, as you spoke about minding your language and about the language of love, I realize how in desperate need I'm in need of this love of God, the love of God. And you see, human love is always shortchanged we can love only so much, but because of our weaknesses, you know, well, I'll let you down. I want you to know, I will let you down, and you will let me down, but that's okay. I'll cover you, you cover me. The important thing to know is that there is somebody who loves you who will never let you down. That's the fundamental thing. So I don't need to look for love from somebody else. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, it's okay, because I have a superior love. I have a love that comes from heaven that is never ending. It is unceasing. And so this morning, I can go to school. I can go to work. I can do what God's called me. I can work this marriage. Why? Because I have a superior love. You see, if you are disconnected from that love, then it means that essentially there are holes in your life, and you're looking for people to fill the holes. You're looking for money to fill the holes. You're looking for hobbies to fill the holes, and it's just not gonna cut it. But this morning, there is a love from God. And I don't care how far you've messed up and how low you've gone, what it is that you've done, I'm here to tell you that God loves you just the way that you are. I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, you say, Pastor, would you pray for me this morning that I would be reconnected back to this God? I need to come back to God, and I need to be back in this love. I need this love to flow once more. I've allowed things, and I've allowed sin to actually cut the flow and to disconnect me. But would you pray for me this morning? And I gladly will. And I want you to know that God knows what you did, and still He loves you. And still He's ready to receive you just the way you are. That's quite something. In Phoenix, I'm talking to you. In Hillcrest, that's quite a thing. To know that God will love you just the way that you are. So I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, I want you to lift your hand up as a sign for me to pray. All right, I want everybody praying right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The different campuses in the overflow. Nobody looking right now. This is important. Here we go. One, two, get ready. Three, go ahead and put your hand up high. God bless you, God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you, God bless you. God bless you. Put your hand up. Keep your hand up. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. I see there and behind the glass, I see hands in the overflow. I see hands in Phoenix by faith. I see hands in Hillcrest by faith. In the school hall, I see hands. Those of you that have your hands raised up, don't be shy. I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet just where you are. Just go ahead and stand. Go ahead and stand. Stand in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you in the back. Go ahead and stand up. That's right. In the overflow, go ahead and stand up. In Phoenix and Hillcrest, go ahead and stand up. Stand up for God. Stand up for Jesus. You don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to hold back. You don't have to feel shy. You can stand up for God this morning. Wow, that's amazing. Those of you that are standing, I want to pray for you. So I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. Would you please just step up out of the aisle, walk down, and come and stand with me in the front so that I can pray for you. Come on, don't be shy. Everybody, let's put our hands together. Give them a big shout. Let's welcome them. Come on, family of God, in Hillcrest, in Phoenix, in the overflow. Let's make some noise in this place. Come on, family. Come on, family. Come on, family. That's right. Come on. Clap, clap, clap. Let's welcome them. They're coming from the overflow. That's right. Come on. Keep clapping. Keep clapping, everybody. Keep clapping. Keep clapping in Phoenix. Keep clapping in Hillcrest. Hallelujah.
Friends, I don't like to close the broadcast without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, you're either running God's race or you are not. And the moment you are born again, you qualify to run God's race. So today, perhaps as you are watching, you realize that your life is not right with God. Don't go another day, another moment, another hour, another second without putting right with God. The amazing thing is He is so loving, and He loves you unconditionally. It's not based on what you can do or what you can say. His love for you never changes. But you know, as you've been watching, that there are things not right. And right now is a good moment. Don't wait for tomorrow, don't wait for next week, but right now is a divine moment. Heaven is open right now for you to respond, to come to Christ. And I know that there are people right now watching that are ready to either recommit their lives to Christ or to come fresh, never having come to Christ before. You can do it right now. Would you bow your heads and say after me, Heavenly Father, I ask you for forgiveness. I repent of my sins. I turn my back right now. I renounce the devil and all of his works. But you, Lord Jesus, I invite into my life right now. I receive eternal life and the forgiveness of all of my sins. Thank you for your precious blood that cleanses me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me another opportunity. And I come to you. I open every part of my life. And Jesus, with my heart I believe, and with my mouth I confess that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'll never be the same. From this day onwards forever, I belong to you and you belong to me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Friend, I'm so glad that you've prayed that prayer. It's just a prayer of faith. It's a simple prayer. But I do believe that God heard the cry of your heart and that right now you're a child of God. And this is a time to celebrate. We'd like to celebrate this decision with you. So would you be so kind as to let us know what's happened in your life? Let us know if this is the first time you prayed this prayer or if you have any other prayer requests. Right now, the details are coming on your screen, or you can even SMS us your prayer request as well. We do have that facility available. And we're just so glad to be able to join our faith together with your faith and believe God for a miracle just for you. Well, that's about it. We've run out of time. Until next time, God bless you. And remember, Jesus loves you so very much, and so do we.
For more information about DCC, follow us on all our social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, WhatsApp, and our website. We love doing life together with you here at Durban Christian Center, a house of prayer for all nations.